Let us go to John chapter 13. We're going to talk about the real meaning of love. What is true love? And our topic is love, of course, real love or true love. And we're going to talk about the real meaning of love. And John chapter 13, 34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." So the message today, the idea I want to get across to you is that love is a command and it's not a suggestion. Love is a command and not a suggestion. And so we don't just love our favorite people, but we are to love everybody. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He loved the whole world that he gave. And there's a message there that we can preach. So as an introduction, I want to say today marks a day known as Valentine's Day. It marks a time when everybody celebrates the idea of loving people, loving other people, and going the extra mile. Men and women usually buy gifts, shower their wives with gifts, and do something for them special. Men usually buy their wives flowers or a box of chocolates. If your wife likes, I know my wife loves dark chocolates, and I've been trying to convince her not to have those chocolates anymore. And I'll usually eat them and buy it and eat them. Other people will take someone out for a special dinner. Maybe perhaps today. They say usually this time of day that many restaurants are all fired up with everybody eating, having a great time, and on a special dinner, and then have a great big fight and mess it all up sometime. So people send out cards and well wishes, and I see on my Facebook many men and women sending out special Valentine's, messages to their loved one, their wife, their husband, and say, "They're the best in all the world." And somebody else said, "No, I'm the best. We're the best. Or she's the best." And so other people, will do that. And so in school, when we were kids, we used to make special cards. I remember our teacher would, we do cutouts and we do pasting and crayons and different things. We would make Valentine's cards for each other in class. Or we'd go and buy, some people would bring out a big bag and they'd go buy something and they'd send out cards and sign them. And I used to wish I'd get a nice little card from a special little girl, but I never did get one. And, heart was broken already. But We would do special things, showing our affection for a loved one. So this is today is at that time. It's Valentine's Day, where the whole world, whether you're a Christian or whatever, you celebrate Valentine's Day to love and shower someone with love. So the idea of love, anyway, let's talk about the idea of love. There are tons of ideas of what real love or true love is, what it really means. In today's society, sometimes we have a misconception of what real love is. Because we're fed different ways about what love is. In many instances, real love has been romanticized by Hollywood in his movies and TV programs and so on. It's been romanticized among the pop culture, the popular culture, and it also has been fashioned as a sex appeal and they made a sexualization of what love is all about. They say, they talk about making love and lots of songs, and they talk about the sex part of that, And so many try to emulate the popular culture and what it emphasizes, and find, most of the time, it's a dead end. It's a real disappointment. And so many people have a misconception and they're disappointed in love, and they don't. I hear people say, "I'll never love again because someone, turned their back on me, or they cheated on me," and so, or they come to church and they love the church, and they say they're not going to love the church anymore. They're going to love you know, they never come back. And so, because they, you know, someone hurt them or whatever. So here's a question that many have, and that is, do you love me? People want to know if other people love them, or in fact, they want to know if they actually really love somebody. And especially when we're going in during tough times in our lives, you want to know if people around you will love you, or if you've made a mistake in life and you need forgiveness and you want that affection and you want people to love you. And so you want to know that question, do you love me? Let's go to John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17 as an illustration of this question. And John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17, I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon. You know, Simon was one of the, Peter was one of the apostles that Jesus picked. He's a fisherman, a businessman, a worker who by the sea and caught fish for a living. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. In this illustration, we see Jesus asking Peter if he truly loved him. And Peter was getting upset because he was being questioned about his love for the Lord. Jesus was asking him about his devotion and his commitment to what he was taught, what he taught Peter and the apostle during his tenure with them for those years that he was with them. They were at the near end of his tenure, his time there with him, his teaching time and training. Peter responded to Jesus with affection, with his affection, emotional affection, and to what Jesus had showed them and taught them. He was really, feeling the feeling, sort of thing, the vibe about what Jesus probably brought a whole pile of memories to him when he asked him that question. And this thing rose up in him. And Jesus was asking him about not his emotional response, his affection, but he was asking, Jesus was asking his question about real love. He was asking about his devotion, his commitment to what Jesus taught them and how he would love the world, how he would show the world that he loved and how he would display the love of God throughout his entire ministry for the rest of his life. And Jesus told him later on, prophesied to him that he was going to live a long life and that, in those next verses, he said that Peter, when you were very young, you did what you wanted to do. You went wherever you wanted to go, and you didn't need any assistance. But when you're old, people are going to carry you and take you to places where you don't want to go. And the Bible says that it signified that Peter was going to live a long life and that he was going to live right to the end. And he lived a long life. And so God wants to know if we really love him as well. Not only that if we love God, but also do we know that we love God? And how can we know we love God? And also that God wants us to know, wants to show us how to love the world and how to love people. And a lot of times, because of this misconceived idea about what love really is, we fail so miserably on this love of God. And you can't love beyond your knowledge because faith comes through our knowledge of something. You can only act on what you know. And so without knowing and understanding what true love really is, you cannot really devote yourself to loving someone if you don't really understand the spiritual significance of that love. And so we see Peter, and later in Peter's epistles, his thought was expressed when he understood love after that. Although, he said there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, he says, talking about Jesus, in writing to us and everybody else that reads this letter today, you love him even though you have never seen him. And the question arises, how could you love someone you've never seen? How could you love God you've never seen? How could you have an affection? When I was 10 years old about, I was walking home one day from school. I think my school from my home, from what they call the point to the Suckle Creek, I think it's about a couple of kilometers. I remember we took about 10, 15 minutes as kids to walk home. I remember walking home one day after school and kind of meditating on what was spoken at school one day, and through the nun that was teaching us, she asked us if we loved God. Real question for young children. And I had no idea what loving God meant. I didn't know God. I didn't even know who he was. And so I walked down this, what they call the beach, and through all the, you know, sandy area and so on, where the water meets the land there, and walked home and walked on Highway 11 down towards Suckle Creek. This came to my mind, do you love God? And I remember having this conversation with God, and I said, God, I don't really love you. I don't know if I love you, and I don't understand what this meant to love you. I confessed that I didn't love him. I didn't know I loved him because I didn't understand. So it really brought something to my mind about what this love was all about. So here's the question. How can I love somebody I haven't seen? Love isn't just an affection or a sensation or an emotional experience. Love is more than what most people think of that it is. Some people have a romantic idea that perhaps they saw from some Hollywood film or video or whatever. Love is more than just an emotional experience or an emotional that we feel. Peter said, you can love someone without even having human contact with somebody. We are to love God, it says, even though we have never seen him. You know, Jesus said the first commandment, he says that in the book of Matthew. Someone asked him, what is the most important commandment? He says, the most important commandment is, number one, is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. The second is to love everybody else, love everybody, love everyone with that same love. And so you can see love is very, very important. You know, many, many songs have been written about love. If you go on your internet and go on any, I'm sure if you go on your feed or whatever you got there at home, you might have Spotify or whatever you got, some YouTube, and you go click on songs of love, and you'll see a whole pile of songs on love. And lots of stuff is written about love, and most of it is romantic. I would say 95-98% of it is about romantic, a romanticized idea of love. And people are being fed this whole idea about what real love is. You're supposed to feel this feeling of euphoria of love constantly for somebody. And so they're getting disappointed in the fact that I don't feel a thing for you. Why am I with you? And so people are getting disappointed. And so so millions and millions of people have never had a physical contact with Jesus, and yet throughout the centuries they love him in so many ways. As First Peter 1:8 says, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust in him and you rejoice with glorious, inexpressible joy. Let me just go into the Bible and talk about this love. The story, you know, I want to talk to you about something here first. Let me share something from my own heart, from my own experience. You know, we can only share our experience about different things. I can share somebody else. I can share Pastor Ken's experience on love, or Pastor Steve's on love. But they're very, very minor, small. I'm just kidding. You know, you could share somebody else's version of love or what they're experiencing. And they probably have a great, tremendous story. I you know, just listen to these guys. They'll blow your mind away. And here's a story about my version, or at least example. You can only have your example in your own home. And so here I grew up with my mom and dad. The story of my mother and my dad is actually a relatable story, an interesting story that many people can identify with, particularly if you understand, you know, of course, I'm speaking from the native culture because some things you might not understand, but you still can relate to it. So my mom and dad were what we call an arranged marriage. You know, my grandparents settled with another family that my mother is going to marry this man. My mom was from way up north, a Cree woman. My dad lived among this area. He was, you know, in Ojibwe. So their parents made an arrangement for them to be married. My mom was very young when she married my dad. I believe she's just in the mid-teens, 15, barely 15, 16 years old when they decided. And 16, she, somewhere around 16, 17 years old, finally got married. After a tumultuous years of marriage, my parents remained married for 43 years, up until my mother passed away in 1989 at the age of 59 years old. My mom was 59 years old, died of cancer. And I knew my mom and dad loved each other very dearly because I saw the difficulty they had in their life, what they experienced over the years. And the setbacks and all the misery and all the stuff in my home and a tremendous time. Of course, my mom was a survivor of abuse from the residential school system. She grew up in the residential school system all the way from she was a little child. They took her away, took my mom away when she was just a little tiny girl, put her into the convent, the residential school. And she grew up there until she was in her teens. Came out and married my dad. A very short story of it. And they loved each other dearly because I saw them throughout those 43 years, of at least a good part of it. I was, when my mom died, I was in my 20s. And so they loved each other. They never had a courtship or a teenage love experience of, you know, high school sweetheart or something like that. Never went out dating or driving around or went to the restaurants and movies. And they never had that kind of thing where people say, I need to have that experience in order for me to just have a real good experience of marrying somebody. I got to have that, you know. My parents didn't have that. So they nevertheless were together for those years. They had a strong bond of affection for one another because I saw it and I've seen it displayed. And I saw my mom and dad really loved each other. Although they had a very difficult time. Seeing them in their marriage, and yet they didn't know each other and they were put together, it's like the whole idea, even though you didn't see Jesus, you love him. That's so that idea came to me and understood. So seeing my parents go through this, never knew each other, but put together, got married, we came out of it, I'm the middle child. They stayed together for all those years, although they had all kinds of problems and for all those years. And to me, this could mean one thing, that you could grow to love each other, or you could grow to not love somebody. So this is a learning, some kind of learning that happens in lives, that you could actually grow to love somebody. And when we first had our puppy, I wasn't exactly excited about having a puppy. And my girls, all through our lives, they always want a puppy. So we got a puppy. And, you know, the last experience wasn't very great. So I said, we got to get another puppy. So now we got two puppies. And so I almost like want to murder these kids, or these kids, these dogs, sometimes, you know, especially when they're just forming. Now they're getting, they're older, they know a lot of stuff, and they know how to do stuff. And so I got to love these animals, and God says we must love animals. You know, the Word of God tells us we should love animals, take care of them, and they're helpless without us. And so we are able to love. So people can actually fall out of love over the years and even separate and divorce. And if you don't have understanding, that's what will happen to you. So how can this be? How can you grow cold for one another in love? Well, Jesus said this, that love can grow cold. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, New Living Translation says, sin or lawlessness will be rampant, will grow, will be rampant, will be everywhere. The love of many will grow cold. This is a message for the last days. You know, in fact, even right now, you can tell that people just don't have any concern. They're not kind. And people are mean sometimes, especially on Facebook. You got to watch. You got to be really thick-skinned on Facebook. You need to prepare yourself. If you're going on Facebook, if you put something out there, people can attack you. Or if you have an opinion, people are going to attack you. And in fact, I saw something the other day that people have committed suicide because of it. And people have had emotional bad experiences because of it. Kids are going through a hard time because of being attacked online. And so you have to watch, because people in this world are beginning to get cold in various ways. And the world is teaching this somehow. So how did my parents have such a dysfunctional life with conflict and disharmony and betrayal to one another, and yet still love each other at the end of their lives with great devotion, and after many, many years of a very, very difficult marriage and family? How can that be? Because you can recover love. You can love again. You can learn to love people. You can learn to forgive, and that's the beauty of love. And so let's look at the scripture here, what it says. What is love? So the question is, what is love? Love is more than just emotion. It's more than an emotion or a sensation or an emotional experience. It's more than a romantic idea or ideal of some Hollywood movie. The Bible reveals to us what real love is and what it is to experience true love, and what we all want to experience true love. And so in the English language, there's only one word for love, and that word love is a word that we apply to every kind of love that there is, from puppy love to the divine love of God. People say, I love chocolate cake. You know, we our body loves chocolate cake. Our taste buds, or I love chicken, or something like that. So we say the same thing, that we use that same word for loving your wife. I love my wife. So that's a little bit confusing. And so in the Greek language, in the Bible gives four significant meanings of what love is all about, what love is, the word love. And we can see this in Scripture. And so the word love has four meanings, and they are as follows. The first one is eros, spelled E-R-O-S, eros. This is what called physical attraction, or physical or sexual love, or the actual definition of that love is marriage love. Marriage love, that's the actual definition of that word, but eros is where we get the word. You know, we get the word erotica, different words that talks about, something with sex in it. So that's a small part of it. And yet many, many people think this is what love is all about. If you can have sex with me, sometimes, you know, boys tell girls, you know, if you love me, you'll have sex with me. Let me sleep with you and we can have a sexual activity together. And so, because people don't know anything, they'll venture out to do stuff. So that's eros is physical or sexual love, sexual attraction. The first thing that happens to young people is that they see somebody that's attractive, and they have a physical, something happens in their bodies, and they want to get close to someone, physical attraction. And so that's biblical. And the Bible speaks about this in the Songs of Solomon, where the physical attraction, sexual love between a man and a woman. So God's given this, in our lives. He puts this in our lives so that we can have, procreation. And not only that, but have a bonding, have a great time in sex together with a husband, wife and husband, in the marriage bed. The second word we want to talk about here is phileo. It's spelled P-H-I-L-E-O. This is called friendship love, or companionship love. This is where you derive, you know, a close contact with a friend, and you have this bond with somebody. Then you have this emotional bond with a good friend, and it's a friendship love. You do things for each other, and you get emotional blessing from it. You enjoy your friend. You want to enjoy a good time together, a good laugh, a good social gathering together. You enjoy doing things of special interest together with somebody. That's friendship love. That's called phileo. And so we enjoy that with our good friends. And the other day I called a friend of mine I haven't seen in, I guess, maybe 30 years. And we're going to get together next week. He was my best friend. I can remember going, you know, in my young 20s, having this friend. I was telling my wife, it's the very first time I ever felt a love for another man, that I enjoyed this person. I had such great time of companionship and closeness, and we shared different things together, and very close. And he became my best man in our marriage, and we still have this close bond. And then we got together over the phone the other day. We didn't physically talk, but we're on, you know, texting. And that same camaraderie that we had was still there. And so I'm excited to see my good friend. And so this phileo is friendship. It's a friendship. It's a bond, a companionship that you have with somebody. The third one is storge, S-T-O-R-G, storge, S-T-O-R-G, storge. It's emotional love. It's actually tied in with family love. It's the kind of love that you care for your immediate family. You love them because they're your family. You have interest in their well-being because they're family. Your immediate family, your extended family. You care for them with that immediate love. It's that kind of affection you have for emotional bond with your family. And it gives us a picture of a dad caring for his family, caring for their best interest. That's what storge is. It's that family love that God has given to us that we should have for one another. And of course, there's the fourth one, and the word is agape, spelled A-G-A-P-E. A-G-A-P-E. It's called the unconditional love of God, or divine love, better yet. Divine love, agape, divine love, or unconditional, no strings attached love. It has nothing to do with emotions, but everything to do with principle. So you can love somebody because you decide to, not because of emotions, not because you derive any kind of pleasure or any kind of companionship, or you're getting something from somebody. It's the love of God that you just give someone, whether you like them or not. And so this is what we want to talk about a little bit. Most people are familiar with Eros predominantly because it's displayed on popular culture in music, movies, books, literature. It seems to be the highest aspiration of love, which is far from the real kind of love that we should be seeking. Storge is the most common love, as because we all experience this growing up in our own homes and families. We experience storge because our parents give us this kind of love. Our parents nurture us with great expressions of love and affection, along with our siblings and extended family members. So it's that kind of love you feel in your family. And you get that in church too. It actually comes from that. Because in church, you feel that same love. If you don't have a family, a dysfunctional family, you can come to a church and get close to people. It'll be just as if it's just the same thing that you would get if you've never had a family. You can enjoy that thing. And God has so many ways of blessing us in life. And so, of course, phileo is often experienced in our friendships with close people and our best buddies. This love is based upon common interests, common goals, mutual enjoyments, satisfaction of one another in a relationship. For example, we enjoy spending time sharing moments of laughter and joy around different things, kidding about life and you know, having a great time. So agape is the highest form or highest kind of love in which love is given without expecting anything in return. No feelings about it. You don't have to have feelings about it. You just do it because you're commanded to. Just like Jesus said, command love someone. This is difficult to understand because most people don't understand this kind of love. They think they should have some kind of feeling if they say, well, I've fallen out of love. You know, probably because you've had a lot of bad experiences with somebody and you don't know how to overcome it with kindness and forgiveness. So this is an example of God's love. He loves us without us doing anything for him. He just loves us. I can't understand that. I mean, the Bible says that God loves you before you love him. This requires a commitment and dedication based upon principle, not emotion. So God's description of love in the Word of God is spelled out for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. I like it described in the Amplified Bible because it gives us a full description of it. A lot of times people ask me, why do you read so many versions of the Bible? Because most people don't talk in the King James every day. And that's the old form of language that we don't even understand. When you're reading the King James, half the time people don't understand. So you have to find out the true meaning. And the Amplified usually takes a key phrase, a key verse in the Bible, and amplifies it so that we can understand it more specifically. So let me just read this for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8 in the Amplified Classical Edition. So, verse 4. Love endures long. This is God's description of love. Love endures long and is patient and kind. So let me just ask a question. If you've been unkind, you're not acting in love. If you're impatient with people, towards people that are working out there, you're impatient at the checkout or at the coffee place or at the mall, you're impatient. That's not walking in love. The Bible says they shall know us by our love. Love never is envious or boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, that's what we're talking about, God's love, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. So to have your own way all the time in a marriage, in a home, without giving the other people the benefit of taking their turn or you stepping back, that's not real love. We need to give each other some room here. So, it talks about God's love in us. I want to talk about God's love in us in a moment. And so, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. How many of us mark it down? I'm going to get him. I'll make sure he knows for the rest of his life that he's hurt me. God says that's not the way to live. That's keeping record. You can't keep records. So it says in here, pays no attention to suffered wrong, does not rejoice in injustice. We say, oh, I'm glad he got us. I'm glad he got beat up. I'm glad he got hurt. And unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ready to believe the best of every person. I mean, that's what people need most when a Christian fails or someone fails, is for us to pick those persons up and say, I believe in you. I believe the love of God. I believe the Spirit of God can lift you up and you can achieve far more than what you've been doing. I believe in you. You know, every one of us, somebody believed in me. I remember, you know, coming out of detox, going to the treatment center, living in a halfway home and trying going back to school and people laughing at me, that I'll never make it, I'm going to quit. And I didn't need that. People just waiting for me to quit, waiting for me to fail, waiting for me to go back out in the street. I met a teacher. Thank God I met some really nice people in my life. I met a man, and he believed in it. He was a former minister. And he said, Roma, I'm going to help you out. And so he brought me in, and he took me in. I didn't have to take any tests at the college. After a certain time, I was taking some upgrading. I didn't have to do all that stuff. He said, you know, I'm going to bring you into my program, and I want you to try four of these subjects. And if you pass these, I'm going to let you enter into my program. So he was a coordinator. He can do what he wants, I guess, but he let me in, and I was able to get into college. I didn't have to have a grade 12. I didn't have to take upgrading, finish my equivalency. And, you know, hey, today I've proven the fact I could do it. I've did my undergraduate degrees and my honors in BA and master's degree, and now, you know, doctor of ministry. So you need somebody to believe in you. Everybody needs someone to believe in them. So love is really believing the best of somebody. That's what true love is. It's believing the best. And I've been doing that with some people that I'm failing all the time. And humanly speaking, I just want to give up. But God says, believe the best in them. So someone believed in me, and that's how I got to be where I am today. So I'm trying to pass the same thing that someone passed down to me. It says, love never fails and never fades out. It becomes obsolete, or it comes to an end. Then it talks about prophecy, but we're not going to talk about that now. We're just talking about love. So this is what love, if you really want a true picture, I want you to take these scriptures in the Amplified Classical, Amplified Bible, read it. I suggest you read the Classical because it gives us more description. And read this and look at this and begin to practice this. But before you do that, you have to know some other things before you do this. Let me just show you something. You know, love is expressive. Every kind of love is expressive, and we see it in our action toward one another. Love is putting forth words into action. If you say you love someone, you'll display it or act it towards that person. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So in other words, let's put some action to our words, or let's put some action to how we feel. Jesus answered, John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, if you love me, you will keep my words. In other words, if you love someone, you'll keep your word. In other words, you'll not only say something, but you'll do something. If you say you love your wife, your family, you'll do something. You want to really love your family? Do something. Make the change. Do something. It's not about how you feel. How you feel about someone, your loved one, you say, I love you, but you don't do anything and yet you still keep making mistakes. Then that shows you're not using the love that you have in your heart the right way. So it says here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 to 21, New Living Translation, we love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates his fellow believer, that person is a liar. That's God saying, that's pretty tough, man. Well, if we don't love people, we can see how we, for if we don't love people, we can see how can we love God. If you see somebody that, you know, physically speaking with humans, if you're with people, if you say, you know, I love them, but you don't do anything, this is confusing. So if you don't love people that you actually can see, how can you love God, whom you cannot see? He has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their own fellow believers. You know, this sums it up right there. This is called a supernatural love, and every one of us has a supernatural love in us. God put that kind of love in us that we read about in 1 Corinthians 13. Romans 5:5 says that God put his supernatural love in us, and this love that we have that God put in us is not in there just to stay in there. It's for us to use it and to express it and to not to abuse it, but to use it in the right way. So it says here, Romans 5:5, and hope make not ashamed, because the love of God, not human love, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. In other words, when the Holy Ghost came in you when you're born again, when you got born again, Holy Spirit came to live in you. He brought in with him that love of God, the gift of the love of God in you. When was this love given to us? That's what I just said, when we were born again. Here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, the King James Version said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that is born of God and knoweth God." This is how love comes in us, is when the Holy Ghost comes in us and we're born again, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's why you can love people without having to have any kind of emotion. Supernatural love. Jesus said, "Love one another as I've loved you." Wow, we can love just like Jesus. He wouldn't tell us to do something that we couldn't do. Because he said in our scripture there, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I loved you, that you love one another." He says, this is a new commandment. I'm telling you, it's a commandment. It's not something, a suggestion. This is not emotional love. This is not some kind of intellectual love. This is not some love on paper. This is not some ideal love, that romantic love. This is a commandment. This is a principle. This is what God's law is. It's a law of love. It's to love people. He said, you can do it. Notice over here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, and Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. I want to read these four scriptures to show you something about this love. He said, "Let all bitterness and wrath," verse 31 of Ephesians 4, "and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another." That's a commandment. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God. Ask yourself, even as God, equal to God, or the way God does it, for Christ's sake has forgiven you. This is the way we need to do it. Just like God, we do this for other people. If someone has wronged you, this is the way to do it. This is what we can do. In order to be free from your past, in order to be free from the all the hurts and everything, you got to come to God and forgive in Christ and let that person go. It's a freedom for you. It's a liberation. Chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. "Be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love." Walk in love, "as Christ also had loved us and had given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So God says that we can walk in this kind of love. It's supernatural kind of love. And we can forgive just like God did for us in Christ. We can do the same no matter what has happened to us. And there's people, I know people that's been abused sexually by family members, by grandparents, by grandfather, by cousins, by people. And it's time to just release that and let it go. You say, it's not that easy. Well, yeah, I'm sure it's not that easy. It's hard. But the Bible says we can do this in God and free ourselves and be free from this situation. The Amplified Bible, Ephesians 4, 31, 32, says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and perpetually animosity, resentment, strife, fault-finding, slander be put away from you, along with every kind of malice, all spiteful of verbal abuse, malevolence. Be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as Christ, God in Christ has forgiven you." This is what we could do if we want to. But people said, "I can't." No, you can't. You can do it. You can forgive the abuser. I would listen to, you know, a little great one to listen to. I mean, she talks about it freely online. I mean, right on television, national television. A lady by the name of Joyce Meyer, she shares about her abuse. Her dad abused her since she was a little girl right up until she was a teenager, sexually. And she said, it's just like today, because of forgiveness and the power of God, it's like it never happened. I don't suffer any effects from it. I don't have any kind of animosity. I don't have any bad dreams. I don't have anything. God has totally healed me. And you can have that too. And I used to have problems with bad dreams and wake up in cold sweats and I guess they call it PTSD and have these years after year after year after year this impact. But God totally healed me. Totally healed me. I suffered this emotional turmoil continually, but God has healed me, and God will heal you too. So, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, Amplified. Therefore, become imitators of God, or copy. It says, copy him and follow his example. As well, beloved children, imitate your father. Walk continually in love, that is, value one another. Practice empathy and compassion, unselfishly seeking the best for others. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God, slain for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. Apparently, we can act just like God as far as walking in love. Why? Because that same type of love he put in us. He wouldn't tell us to do something that he didn't provide us the power to do. He's telling you to love someone with the love that he provided inside you. This is not some kind of emotional love, but it's a commitment, a command to follow in our Father's way. We that have been born again, we can put this love into effect. The first thing that happened that we experienced after we became born again or got saved or came to Christ, I don't know, don't you remember the sense of love that you experienced after you got saved? Well, 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, the King James says this. After we were born again, that's when he put his love in us, the first thing that we experienced. He says here, we know that we have passed from death to life. This is talking about spiritual death to spiritual life. This is about the experience, the spiritual experience of being born again. This is what he's talking about. We pass from death to life because we love the brethren. That he that loved not his brother abided in death. So when we experience, you know, I know when I was when I got born again, I just loved people. As a 24-year-old young man, I got saved. I moved to another town, and I started fellowship with older and older crowd of people there in their 60s and 70s, and I loved those people. Like, they were white people, and I was this little native boy out of college, and I didn't care if they were white people or Germans, or they were actually German people, I believe it was, and I loved these people, or actually, they were Swedish people. And I love these people, I went to a church. It was all white people. I don't remember very few times I saw a native people. They weren't members of the church. If they were there, they would come to visit. But I became a member of that church. But God's love doesn't have color in it. And so we love people no matter what they are. Notice this over here. God is saying that this kind of love, be kind to everybody. And we can love people even when we're not feeling it. You do this as a command, not some kind of from some emotional response that you're getting. Because if you're waiting for some emotional something, you're not going to love people. Loving your enemies is not some highly desired goal for a lot of people. But apparently Jesus said it should be. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them would despitefully use you and persecute you. Don't go around telling people, listen, you know, I'm going to love you today. I'm going to do something good for you today because I love you. No, you don't display. Just go ahead and do something nice. Don't even tell them. Just go ahead and do it because you don't want to antagonize people. You don't look at them and say, I love you. I love you. It might even slap you. I don't know. So, you know, this kind of love, when we love like this, we will fulfill all the Ten Commandments. People say, I talk about the Ten Commandments. If you walk in love, this one command, this love, you'll never break any commandment. If you walk in the love commandment that God gave us, that Jesus gave us through Christ, that God gave us through Christ, if we walk in this love that he put in us, we will never break any commandment. All the Ten Commandments are fulfilled in this one commandment, and that is love. You will not steal, you will not kill, you will not hate people. you'll not commit adultery, you'll not do anything that's wrong, you'll not covet. If you follow this love, it's fulfilled in this one little world called love, loving God, loving people. So, when we commit to loving others, we are fulfilling the commandment of God. Let's read Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Starting from verse 8, I know it's getting a little bit late. It's like 11:42 over here. I don't know what time it is over there, but listen, go have a coffee. But we're going to continue teaching here in this 15-part series on love. All day long. No, I'm just kidding. Let's go. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to 10. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. In other words, the only thing you owe people is to love them. In other words, you can forgive the cash I owe you. I'm going to love you. So that's not what we're talking about. He says, to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. In other words, if you love people, if you walk in love, you fulfill the law. And so it says, for this, he says, for example, verse 9, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Every commandment is fulfilled in this one thing called love. So stop putting stuff on Facebook, hurting people, injuring people. And those Boston Bruins fans, stop teasing. Stop teasing. You're hurting us. I'm just kidding. You can do it what you want, but God will get you. I'm just kidding. No, listen. It says here in verse 10, love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, you wouldn't tease online anymore. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Let's go to a New Living Translation of that same verse 8, 9, and 10. Owe nothing to anybody or anyone except your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you'll fulfill the requirements of the law or God's law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other commandments are summed up in one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong. I said no wrong. Love does no wrong. I'm talking about deliberate acts of planning to do something wrong to somebody. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of the law. If you're asking yourself the question, am I loving people? I mean, we're talking about it right now. How do I know if I'm loving somebody? I'm telling you right now from the scripture how to love somebody if you're really loving somebody. And so I'm trying to dismantle this whole this whole misconception of love, this romanticized idea of love, and that you should have this euphoria of, this love, this whole love of this feeling of on a cloud, I love you. No, that's not, most of the time you're not going to have that feeling if you love somebody. I'm talking about real love. So, Galatians 5, 13 and 15, New Living, I'm just going to capitalize and let's go to James chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 for living, New Living. This actually is in conjunction with what we read earlier. It's just kind of like supporting scriptures of Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to 10. We break one law, we break them all. You fulfill the law of love, and you fill them all. So you break one law, you break them all. If you fulfill one law, the law of love, you will fulfill all laws. Now watch this. James chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Breaking one law is like breaking them all. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Yes, indeed. It is good when you obey the royal law, as found in the scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you're committing sin. You're guilty of breaking the law. That's called favoritism. If you just show favoritism, you just love people, just you want who you want to love, then you're breaking the law. No, we treat people exactly the same. as much as you understand, treat people the same way. If you want people to treat you well, treat people well. Be kind to people. If you want people to be kind to you, be kind to people. And so over here, let's go ahead and read Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 to 15, New Living. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but if you use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, instead use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware of destroying one another. So what is real love? John chapter 3, verse 34. Jesus said it's a command to love God and to other people. Love is a decision. Sometimes it means loving people without any kind of affection, any kind of feeling, just by principle. It's the agape love. Human love is selfish. And they say all the rest of love except agape is selfish because we derive pleasure from them all. You keep doing it. It's like, you know, the rat who or an animal who gets blessed pressing a button and they get something out of it. You're getting something out of it. So you don't just get something out of it. The love of God just goes on and on and on and on and on and on without ever feeding it. You just do it because it's in you. God wants you to do it. So human love is selfish and selfish love because it drives pleasure. And you keep doing it. Divine love is loving others because you've made a decision to love with God's love that's been put in you. Real love is active love. It's active in expression and it's unselfish. As we read earlier, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 to 32, this is what you can do with that kind of love. You get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. In other words, you're not going to just be kind to somebody just because they've been good to you. In fact, you can be kind to them even if they were mean to you. So how could that ever happen? Well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can do it. Why? Because God says you can do it. Why? Because God put that kind of love in you. You can do it. Now, it says it here in Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 2, New Living again. It says, imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. In other words, he loved us because he made a decision to do it. Although he suffered, he did it anyway. This is the kind of love, the real love that we're seeking, the real love that we want, is that will you still love me after all that failure, after all my failures and after all my... If you see my flaws, will you still love me? If I reveal my innermost weaknesses and my innermost sins and my darkest dreams, will you still love me? No, I'll call the cops on you. No, we'll still love you. You know, it's important that we will do that. Now listen, in conclusion, under a new covenant of love, love is the only commandment for us to fulfill. If we keep the commandment of love, we won't break any other laws that's ever created that we ever know. God puts this supernatural kind of love in every one of us so we can keep every law that there is. Love isn't just an emotion, but an act of obedience to follow the ways of God. Jesus said in John 13, 34, 35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another, by this men shall know that you are my disciples if you have loved one another. People are not going to know us by anything else but in the fact that we love people. So do yourself a favor today. Do some act of love for your family, for your wife or husband, for your neighbor. You know, my neighbor was irritating me all fall and ever since the COVID started. So I said, I'm going to go buy this guy some fruit. Buy some chocolates. I went over and put the chocolates on. Knocked on his door, gave him some chocolates. gave my other neighbor some chocolates. Just a small little act of kindness. And you should see the change in that person. You know, people just want to know if you have a little bit of kindness, show a little act of kindness and love. You know, do something today. Give that love to somebody. God bless you. Have a wonderful Valentine's. You are my Valentine's. I love you. I love you all. And show me some love. Let's pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I want to thank you for every one of our family members, our faith family, all over the cross and land. In Jesus' name, I thank you for they'll experience a great day of happiness in the love of God today. I pray for their healing. I'm agreeing for everyone who's sick that healing belongs to you, that it's part of the covenant. I pray that you be released from every pain, every bad memory, every emotional bondage that you have and everything that you've been stuck with all your life. I pray that you say, Jesus, please forgive me for resentment. Please forgive me for strife and my wicked words and my bad plans, my wicked plans. Forgive me for hurting people. Forgive me every word I've said that's unkind. Release me now. And I release everyone who said anything unkind and did anything bad to me and has hurt me throughout my entire life. I release them now. In the name of Jesus, I know I don't feel like I want to do it, but I'm going to do it because in obedience to you, I'm releasing that right now. And I'm receiving your love and your healing in my life. And I ask you to forgive them as I'm forgiving them as well. Release them from the bondage as well. I want to thank you for the healing and the anointing of God. In the name of Jesus, to every family member, every boy and girl, every child, every mama, grandma, grandpa, dad, every teenager, every young adult, every person, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the immense healing, the power of God, signs and wonders. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.